Welcome back, folks. Welcome to another episode of Wise Lives. My name's Nick. I'm one of the anchor interviewers here. This is Delroy Hall. Delroy is the chaplain of Sheffield United Football Club in the glorious north of England. Here we go. If you are a Sheffield Wednesday fan now, you might want to look away now. But today we're going to talk about what it's like to volunteer, but to be in the middle of the life of a big football team. So I wanted to ask you some questions, Darwin, because we've done another podcast and we talked serious stuff about God and stuff, didn't we?
Sure.
But there were some questions that that a football fan would like to know. I'm a football fan. Did you grow up as a football fan or?
Never went to a match. I was raised in a Christian home whereby you didn't go to matches.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of raised in a kind of very, very conservative Pentecostal thing. So you didn't go to the pictures, you didn't go to matches. You didn't know, cricket matches, lots of stuff you didn't do.
Cricket being inherently evil.
Well, yeah, of course. So they watch it on TV, the guys watch it on TV, but we wouldn't go to a match.
Oh, okay.
So, but that in many areas has kind of changed now.
Yeah,
that's kind of changed. And in fact, my mother is 80, well, my mother's 84 now, but she went to her first football match last year, 83 years ago. That wouldn't have happened, but she went.
Did you take her to United?
I did, yes. It was the Hull match, and she really enjoyed it. And my sister was there, my niece, and my mother doesn't watch football as such. And I looked over and I saw tears running down my sister's face, because when we laugh, we kind of get shed tears. And so I saw my sister laughing her head off and tears running down. So I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "Mum," because it was a penalty in the match.
Oh.
She said, "Mum." I said, "What do you mean about Mum?" She said to me, she said, "Sandra, the game finish?" So she thought with the penalty and then Sheffield United scoring at the end of the game. So my sister thought it was so hilarious. But yeah, Mum went to a match last year and she absolutely loved it.
It was
first time, 83, possibly the oldest Caribbean woman in the whole stadium. But she absolutely loved it, to see the people, the roaring, the singing.
Yeah.
She didn't get all the words, mind you, so it's good that she did.
Probably for the best.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. But yeah, she had a great experience.
So tell us, how did you begin as a chaplain at a club like that?
I was approached by the previous chaplain. He'd spoken to another pastor who's a real ardent Blade supporter, and he said, "I'm too busy, but I think I know somebody who can do a reasonable job." So the previous guy was Alistair Beatty. Came to see me, and I said, "Oh, Alistair, I'm really busy, you know, and I don't really follow football." That was July 2017, so I was on a break from uni. So he said to me, "What are you doing Thursday?" So I said, "Well, nothing." So "Well, just have a walk around with me, just have a feel of it." So I did. I met up with him and walked around. And so he introduced me as the new chaplain. So I said, "Alistair, I'm just walking around with you, just kind of getting a feel of the thing." This was Thursday. But I've been told since he's very good at that. He does that type of stuff. Right. I didn't know that at the time. So anyway, we kind of had that discussion. And then he said, after we'd done the visits and stuff, he said, "What are you doing a week on Saturday?" I said, "Well, I've got some teaching, but it's just kind of recap, but I can change it." So I did that. It was a Barnsley match, so he got tickets for the director's box and all the rest of it.
That's, for anyone who's not too local, that's one of the local derbies.
That's right, yes it is, yeah. And I remember sitting down in the director's box and thinking, believe this, but I've not said yes at the time. And then he introduces me to the owner of the club then and so forth, and all the vice presidents, and introduces me as a chaplain. So I got all these swarm of guys just kind of, you know, welcome me in, and really made me feel welcome. So I say to folks, I've been in post now 3 years, I haven't said yes yet. But I absolutely love it.
Having said that, they haven't paid you a bean either.
No, they've not. No, I need to kind of do something about that.
Entirely voluntary post.
But,
it's the same up and down the country, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah,
and that's quite helpful, because it means that you're not on the payroll, which
absolutely
means that... Does it change the way that people relate to you, do you think?
I think there's an assumption that I'm paid, but there's an assumption, but people, as time goes on, they get to know that I'm not, so I've got no axe to grind.
Yeah.
In fact, I do speak with the players, actually, one-on-one. A very personal conversation, I'm very much aware of the, according to current statistics, 40% of professional footballers, when they retire within 5 years, they are bankrupt.
40%.
40%. So, for example, I've worked out just sitting down with pen and paper, if a young player starts at 20, he's on 25 grand a week for 15 years, which will be, as time goes on, he'll peak and be earning more than that and bonuses. But if he earns 25 grand a week, which some do, 30, and he finishes, so he starts at 20, finishes at 35, that's 18.5 million.
Wow.
The questions I ask players, and I say to them, I've not spoken to all of them yet, but some of them I have. I'd like to ask you some questions. I don't want to know facts or figures, but I'd like you to consider them seriously. How long have you got left in the game? Are you looking after your money? One player I spoke to, he's no longer at the club. He started laughing. So he said, I've just turned late 20s and I've just bought my first house. Revs, I have wasted a load of money.
Yeah.
But he said, I've just woken up. I said, right, make sure you look after your money. Make sure you invest. And do not dismiss the fact of getting yourself educated. When you finish, well, two things, all that is that your career can be cut short.
Yep, anytime.
Anytime can be cut short, or fortunately, you can go to 35 or whatever. Not all players want to be coaches. But if you look after these things, when you finish, you've got options. There's nothing worse than finish something and you've got no option. But if you finish something and you've got four or five avenues you can go down, that's it.
And is
So,
it the case that nobody had really ever had those conversations with those lads before that?
well, I spoke to a parent and they come from another city, and one of the father was with a club, and one 20-year-old lad got 100 grand at the end of the month, and he asked an official, what support do you give? So there's none. I think if some of the lads come from good homes, they've got the backing of the parents who really kind of steer them, but not all of the lads come from that kind of
Yeah, of
background.
course, no.
So I've never had a player say to me, it's none of your business.
Yeah.
Because I'm not intruding, but I'm just helping the coach to think through things. I think it's possibly getting better. But you know, it's a big thing, you know, for
Yeah.
10 years you're going up, running onto the pitch, all this adulation, then it stops. You know, what do you do with all the emotion and all that type of thing? So just
Yeah.
kind of helping them to kind of think a little bit ahead. I met one player. He was a professional player, and what he did while he was playing, he did a degree and he's a journalist now.
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, they start training at maybe 10 o'clock, finish at maybe 2, 2:30. The rest of the day is there. So if they can tack on to a degree or something like that, why not?
So what is that? I mean, the common conception of some football fans might be that, you know, they turn up for training, they do a bit of a kick around, and then they're off to the golf course or something like that. I mean, what's the life of a professional? Is it hard work?
Okay, they do go for training, and I remember speaking to a physio. He said that he's worked at a lot of clubs, but he said at Sheffield United they train like they play. They train hard, and I know that the manager trains them hard. It's
Yeah, it's
the,
got
you
strong
know
work ethic,
yeah oh
isn't it?
yes oh
Yeah.
absolutely. When I'm kind of when they finish training and I'm kind of grating the hand, I say, how you doing? Revs, I'm tired, I'm knackered, Revs. So he works them hard. He does
Yeah.
work them hard. And I think if, you know, if you've done any form of physical exercise, you know that your body needs some time to recuperate anyway.
Right.
So if it's playing golf, it's playing golf. But I think when we see footballers, that we have an illusion about their lives.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to many dads, they've said they wouldn't want their kids to be footballers because it's a hard life.
Yeah.
Under a lot of pressure. If you can imagine, on most teams, there's only 11 positions, but you may have two or three players vying for that position.
Yep.
So, and then if you're out injured, the person that comes in could play, perform really, really well. Football is about points and invariably money, so you might lose your place. Footballers want to play. So there's lots of tension there, lots of pressure.
So there's these kind of hidden challenges that go on behind the scenes. I mean, I suppose it's the same in any workplace or any professional environment like that.
But I think where money changes things,
Right.
you've got pressure of the fans. So what I do, I tend not to ask footballers personal questions. I've said to them, I'm there if they need me, but I don't make it a thing to put my nose in the business. However, what I do do, if I know they're long-term injured, also I tend to write them a letter. And I think they're kind of quite shocked actually, because I think a lot of their communication with people is either an email or wanting something, but it's just this letter out of a kind of pastoral concern. And I think some of them, and so what I did when they were promoted, I wrote all the first team and others a personal handwritten letter. So I don't do, so if I'm going to write somebody, I still write handwritten letters. I don't do
email. Old school.
Yeah, very old school. Absolutely old school. Yeah, so I handwrite letters, cards.
So tell us about the what was it like to get promoted? Because for those who don't know, Sheffield United got promoted to the Premier League just last summer. So this summer. So they're now in doing very well as we speak. We're recording this in November 2019.
Fifth in
the league, which is ridiculously good. So what's, I mean, is there a buzz around the place?
Oh yeah, there is. Well, there's the anticipation or the expectation or the excitement of being in the Premier League. When it all happened, they had to do some modifications for the ground because the Premier League has particular standards and so forth. But with that comes a lot of pressure. And with pressure, there's stress. So there are some teams, they don't want to be in the Premier League because it's too much pressure. There's one particular team which I'll not name. Their ethos is to get players, train them, develop them, and sell them on. They're not interested in being in the Premier League because the cost, it's like a big business. The bigger the business gets, it takes more money to run it, and there's more pressures and all the rest of it, more legalities to adhere to and so forth. So so as much as the Premier League is there, there's the hidden pressures, and I guess
it's interesting.
That's my kind of role, dealing with the you know, the fallout.
So you you walk the floors. I mean, how does it work? Because sometimes I've heard chaplaincy described as coming alongside people, just kind of being there. You can't force yourself in, can you?
No, not at all.
How do you made friends? And
one of the first thing on the training chaplaincy training is a picture of a lemon. So part of you actually feeling comfortable being a lemon, because half the time they don't want you there. Not that the atmosphere changes, but you know, what do you want a chaplain for? But actually, when there's a crisis, that's when you need a chaplain. But then your effectiveness is dependent on the relationship that you've developed
already.
Of course, so mine is just being alongside when they're training. I'll be on the edge of the play. I don't interfere.
So you actually go down to the training ground and you'll watch them? And...
Yeah, they're fine with it.
Do you ever throw any advice in there?
No. I'm not a football coach.
Whisper in the ear of the manager.
Well, actually, the manager and I get on really well, and and I think, you know, what we don't realise sometimes, if you're in business, for example, or large organisation, the air's really thin at the top. There's not many people you can go to, and who you can trust. So if the manager or somebody wants to talk to me, they need to feel and know that they can trust me. Whatever they say, it stays in the office. That's where it stays.
That's actually really valuable, as you say.
It is.
We see them in the media and so on, and they just give the same answer every time. Actually, Sheffield United manager is pretty good at being fairly, he's very honest sometimes in his interviews, but mostly, you know, because why would you say anything different in front of the TV crews? But as you say, they're just people at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And people that are vulnerable, people that feel frail at times, they are human just like you and I, but we have an illusion about them, you know, the players or the managers, and we think, well, they're earning all this money. But, you know, that can be problematic.
So, I mean, have you ever been able to pray with them? How does the Christian faith come in?
I've not prayed with anybody yet. Not with them.
Not with them. I'm sure you pray
for them. For them.
And you'll tell them sometimes that you are.
Yes, and they're very grateful. There's some players who, when they run on, I remember one player, he's not at the club now, but he did the sign of the cross, and I remember... having a chat with him. I said, I see what you do, you know, when you run on the pitch. He says, well, what would I do then? So I told him. He says, you see that? I said, yeah, I do. And he said, look, Revs, if I can walk on the pitch and walk off without being injured, I think I can give thanks.
Right.
So there's a sense that for some of them, their faith might be very, very private. Some of them not really interested.
Yeah.
So there's a whole mixed bag, you know, the views that you get on the football pitch or the views you get in the office, they're no different. So my walk is actually just being there, literally just being there. When I'm not there, they know when I'm not there. When I'm there, they know when I'm there. I said to the players that I didn't want to know where they lived or their phone numbers, but a couple have given me their contact details, and I contact the manager and his wife, but I don't get in the way. I told them I'd never bother them. So they know that I'm there,
yeah.
But I'm not texting them every week. Or
I mean, it's growing in its how common chaptaincy is now, isn't it? I'm really pleased that the business world and people like the emergency services and so on, hospitals will recognise the value of a person or a group of people who have the pastoral heart of and care for them, the whole person. It's about time, frankly, isn't it? We realise that the bottom line doesn't just include finance, but there's a spiritual level to everybody.
There is, and I think, you know, having worked for the Royal Infirmary in Leicester many years ago, and at the time, in the early 90s, ambulance, for example, paramedics didn't have access to kind of counselling, and they were being some horrific stuff.
Yeah, of course, must be awful.
The police the same way. I think things are changing there. And certainly, I think, if I can say, which is not out of term, football industry is brutal.
Yeah.
It really is brutal. And people have asked me, well, what am I there for? And I've said at some point, to kind of humanise it. Because it's, you know, it's hard money. And it's hard life. It's a very close community, very macho community.
Mm.
And at some levels, it's incredibly brutal.
Wow.
That's definitely not how it's perceived. It's all the glamour and all the rest of it. Yeah. So who's the nicest person? We don't have to tell us their name, but I mean, who's the nicest person around in that club? Is it the cleaner?
To be honest, I'll be honest with this. I spoke to the manager some time ago. I said, where have you got these lads from? Because they're so friendly. I was told by one of the senior players, again he's not there now, that some of the young lads, because of lack of experience, they can be a bit off with you, a bit aloof, but some of the young lads, they're 22, 23 and younger, they've been very warm to me, very, very warm. And I said, look, I've introduced myself, and I said at some point I'd like to have a quick chat with you. I'll never get into your business, but to say why I'm here, and I'm just kind of ask some questions for you to consider about your life, about your kind of career. And I've never,
that's great.
Yeah, so it's I've felt very, very welcomed, and yeah. I possibly due to being there now for 3 years,
yeah.
And they're coming in and the older lads know who I am, so I think it's a case of, you know,
make a bit,
you know,
of a way for,
yeah,
you,
that's right.
And also you're kind of, I mean, you're a chaplain to the whole club, which technically means all however many 30, 40, 50,000 fans are dotted around in the city. So you write a column for the weekly programme.
I do.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and I've been surprised at who's read it. So a couple of examples. So basically what I do in the column, 200 words, I ask them...
200 words.
Yeah, 200 words, or thereabouts. And what I do, I take a moment from a game and write about it, then do a wider reflection. So, the one that's coming out is the Burnley match. And something that I saw, which I thought was unhelpful, at half-time, Burnley were down 3-0. And I saw the fans, the away fans, the Burnley fans, just hail a load of abuse and, I guess, frustration at the club. And I thought, that's not helpful. So I saw that. So then I write about then how, when in our lives we've messed up or not doing well, the last thing we want to be done is to be reminded about it. But we need to kind of be pointed in a way that can actually help us. So I kind of do stuff like that, really. And I've been surprised at who has been reading it, who've commented. People I didn't think would read much, they've read it, they've commented to me. People who I've never met, I've heard stuff about that they've been reading it. So where it's going,
isn't that a fantastic opportunity, though? So you're discipling the city,
yeah,
or at least a half, roughly, the red half of the city, you get to disciple. There are some in the blue half who won't come very near Bramall Lane, but maybe once a season. So that's amazing. What a great opportunity to set the tone and to remind and to point people to a higher cause and a higher way of living amongst the hurly-burly.
Yeah, I think there's I met a guy recently, he's a Jewish guy, and he said to me, are you the chaplain who wrote the first program in the Premier League? I says, yeah. He said, it was very moving, you know, and I can't remember now, but he's a Jewish guy who's not, as we say, Christian, but obviously whatever I wrote also made an impact on it.
That's it, that's letting our light shine.
In any way.
Boom, I'd love to ask you some more questions, so maybe offline we'll... We're going to, what cars do they drive?
I'll be upfront with that one. I've said to the players, especially the young ones, you don't have to buy a car that's £70,000. Buy a car that's reasonable, and you don't have to buy something that's incredibly expensive. There's a player apparently at Sheffield Wednesday, he's got an Audi that's over 10 years old. He said he ain't changing it.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend X amount of £1,000 on it.
There you go. You are discipling the club. Well done, mate. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Delroy.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a great pleasure. Bless you guys. I'll do my best to get our friend Baz on, who's the chaplain to Sheffield Wednesday, just to even that out there. He's got a few stories to tell as well.
Oh, sure, yes.
We bless you. I pray that in your line of work today or in your sporting life, you find the space to let the Lord God come alongside you as well, and find ways to share just something of that hope and peace with other people as well. Bless you guys. We'll see you soon.